Something is echoing. I'm sure the technicians at the back will be able to sort that out. Let me add my own words of welcome to all of you to our service this morning, whether you are here in person or online. You're very welcome. We trust that the Lord will say something to us, something that will build us up in the faith. My name is Joe Capolio, just in case you do not know, and I am a member of this church. The passage we have before us, read in those three international languages, I have heard it somewhere that if you want to be able to do business anywhere in the world, there are three languages you need to master: English, Spanish, and Mandarin. Those are the languages you need to know. So, thank you for the people who read to us: Alice, Collins, and is it Salo or Salme that I've heard both of them used. Thank you for reading the Word of God. The very first line of this passage draws our attention to something that this country, and particularly the leaders of this country, have been grappling with for some time, and which has had some catastrophic results for at least one person, maybe others as well, during this past week. Passage warns us of the dangers of embracing monetary or material debt. Let no debt remain outstanding. Now, in the NIV, the New International Version, and verse 8, the word that is used there, the way they translate it, they are thinking particularly of money. Do not owe any money or other material debt. In the Good News translation of the same words, they say, be under no obligation to no one. Be under obligation to no one. They broaden the concept from simply money to a whole variety of things, some of which we've come across in our studies in Romans. They encompass all forms of debt, including in Romans 1 verse 14, for example, Paul says, I have a debt to discharge to the whole world to share the gospel with all who live in it. We've been reminded of that discharging of that obligation in the video we saw of Levi in Japan. In chapter 8, verses 12 to 13, we have a debt to the Holy Spirit to live a godly life. And earlier on in this chapter, verses 6 to 7, we have a debt to the government to pay our taxes. We have a debt to be respectful and honoring to whomever they are due, and this will include government officials, parents, teachers, bosses, our pastors. Every obligation we have, all the bills that come through the letterbox, these must be discharged fully and as soon as possible. So every loan agreement we enter into must be backed up by the means to pay back, along with all other non-material obligations. Now let me digress a little bit and remind you of what has happened to Mr. Kwasi Kwarteng earlier this week, who was dumped as Chancellor of the Exchequer by his boss, the Prime Minister. His close ally, I think, was the word she used. You may or may not know that the total wealth of any country is calculated in terms of gross domestic product. And this includes all public and private consumer spending, government spending, all investments and exports. I'm reading this because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But it does sound good. The current monetary value of the UK, according to the government's own estimates, was £2,365.4 billion, or it can be translated into trillions, as of March this year. Now that translated means 99.6% of every pound in that figure is borrowed money. It doesn't belong to the UK, it belongs to somebody else. Now, some of those entities will be UK-based. The UK is the fifth largest economy in the world, behind Germany, Japan, China, and at the top, the USA. My home country, Zambia, is somewhere around 108 in a list of 190 countries. And in our recent history in Zambia, we achieved a status which is created by the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank, and they call us highly indebted, poor country. I've been thinking about this, and that means if you're in that category, you can go to the IMF and get a huge loan and at preferential terms. I think there ought to be another category for highly indebted, rich countries. And if there was such a category, the UK would qualify and we would be treated with preferential terms by the IMF. It may yet come to that. Now, these enormous figures, they're huge. The overall impression is clear. And if we bring it down to an individual, what part of this debt do you owe as a person? It comes down to £42,338. So if tomorrow you could go and generate that amount of money, if we could all generate that amount of money and make it available, then the UK would be clear of its debt. As I say, they're enormous figures. Getting into debt, borrowing money, clearly is a problem of pandemic magnitude. It does seem that there is a philosophy out there in our community. You choose, I choose, the lifestyle that pleases me. And then I look at what I have, and it's really not enough to support what I aspire to, but don't worry about it. Go and borrow the money. Yes, of course you have to be careful to ensure that your credit worthiness grows rather than diminishes. I once had Barclays Bank cancel my credit card because I hadn't used it for more than a year. And they said, we're not making any money from you, we're going to cancel this. I said, praise the Lord. I have no intention of getting into debt with Barclays Bank or anybody else. Although in the end they kept sending me these appeals, sign up for a credit card, sign up for a credit card. And I gave in eventually because there is a level of protection buying air tickets through a credit card. But I always make sure that the next month I have paid back. So we choose our lifestyle, borrow the money, and ensure that we can keep that balancing act. Borrow from this one, pay back this one, and so on. Transfer all your balances into this new credit card. There's a whole variety of things. And you really have to be a genius to ensure that you're always on top of all that. But sometimes a mistake can happen. And the whole thing comes crashing down. I recall a man, fairly highly successful in business as an executive, lovely home, lovely wife, and one day, unfortunately, a close friend of his passed away. It was about lunchtime, and he didn't know how to handle this. So he went into a pub and had a couple of beers. He walked back to work, walked in, and the first person he ran into was his boss, who smelled the alcohol on his breath and sacked him instantly, because that was the rule in the company. He was dismissed. He went home, told his wife, she threw him out of the house, and that night he slept on a park bench in the town. These things can't happen when we rely on mounting debt for our security. So the passage warns us, do not be indebted to anyone. Kwasi Kwarteng is a victim of the whole country being heavily in debt. He may not be the last one. There may be others, unless Jeremy Hunt comes up with some wonderful way of getting us out of this mess. Having said all that, and you may now forget all about that, although don't forget to pay all your debts, which is what the Bible is saying here, there is an outstanding debt that however much we work at it, we will never be able to fully discharge it. And that is the debt to love our neighbor. We will always fall short of that requirement, for when we have loved much, there is still a great amount more to love in our neighbors. Or we can increase the number of our neighbors and continue to love them. Sometimes we get confused over this love your neighbor as you love yourself. And many people imagine that before I start loving my neighbor, I should perfect the art of loving myself. Charity begins at home and all that, and there is truth and wisdom to that. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love anyone else? But if you get too focused in on loving yourself, the trouble with that is that the way we are wired up, there is a self-centeredness and selfishness that is just dying to capture all our faculties and focus and concentrate them on us, me, myself, and I, and perhaps one or two of my loved ones. And the more we love ourselves, the more that becomes true. Therefore, we need to begin from the outset, however poorly we love ourselves, we need to begin to love other people. How do I love other people? How do I understand what this love means? And by the way, that definition of love is what is involved in the word that is translated love here, the Greek word agape. And agape in the Bible, the subject of agape is almost always God. That's the way God loves. I love my Sophie. Sophie is 22 months old. She is my granddaughter, and Sophie and I do lots of things together. Some days, like last Thursday, I picked her up at 7:30. Her parents were just walking out to go to work, and I picked her up out of bed, got her dressed, and then took her to my own home. Then we went for I gave her breakfast, we went for a walk in Roundhay Park, fed the ducks and the geese, and she then said to me, "Ice cream van, ice cream van." So off we went to the ice cream van and the playground and so on. I do all those things for Sophie. I love being in her presence. But you know why I do those things? Because she is my daughter's child. There is a condition. That's human love. It has conditions. Agape love has no conditions. It's something that is decided in the mind. Because you are my neighbor, I will love you. No qualifications. You do not need to be a black man like myself. You do not need to be a compatriot of mine from Zambia. You do not need to. There are no qualifications. That's how God loves us as I suppose we are his neighbors. Anyway, he made us, but we are his neighbors, and he loves us. So the Bible says we have to love our neighbors because that is the character of God, and that's the character he is developing in and through us. Love decides to reach out in order to do for others or to give the best to another person. Why? Simply because they are our neighbor in the community, on the streets, at work, here in the church. So you ought to ask yourself, I would be asking myself as I walk through those glass doors and I see you, what must I do to love you, to show you love? The least I can do is look you in the eye and smile. That doesn't cost anything. But you know what it's like sometimes, and I know lots of people are shy when there are strangers about. You walk through those doors, you see somebody you know in church, you haven't been seen them for a week. Hi, you smile broadly and so on. Then you walk on and you see somebody you've never seen before. And the eyes shut down and the smile disappears and you move on. How do we love those neighbors? For after all, we are neighbors here in this congregation. How do we show our love for each other? We thank the Lord for people like the Harrises who can make lots of barbecue for lots of people. They're showing their love for us as their neighbors. But what do I do? Those international students who are integrating into our community, we've been invited to show love to them. Those of us who have houses, that is another way we can reach out, demonstrate our love to us. And the students are not left out either. You have fellow students who are neighbors to you. There is something you can do to show God's love to them. But you also have the rest of us. How do you show love to us? You don't know, we're much older than you are. And you think, well, they have everything. What can I give to them? There is something peculiarly unique that you have which everyone else needs. How are you going to express that to them? So, how then does this work out in relationships? In this passage, verses 9 to 10, Paul quotes from Exodus 20, verses 13 to 17, the second half of the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And he says, a loving neighbor will not dishonor his neighbor by committing adultery with his neighbor's spouse or daughter or son. A loving neighbor will not kill or somehow endanger or take his neighbor's life. Nor will he steal from his neighbor, bear false witness, tell lies about his neighbor, or covet anything. Who does he think he is that he has all those things? Meaning, those things really belong to me. It is self-centeredness. It is greed. These are some of the practical ways in which Jesus and the Apostle Paul here say are the ways in which we can love our neighbor. So go back. It's quite interesting. Often you hear people say, but that was the Old Testament. Here is Paul in the New Testament saying the answer is in the Old Testament. And by the way, Jesus himself, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He quoted these same verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Whoever has done this, Paul says, has obeyed or fulfilled the whole law of God. And of course, as I indicated earlier, Jesus is our celestial neighbor. He looked down upon us, continues to look down upon us, and we just could not escape the trap of sin and sinfulness. And the misery that this brings into our world, our personal lives. A long time ago, God had seen this and he decided to actually make their lifespan 70 years. Otherwise, the suffering will continue. I turned 70 last week and already I have at least 5 tablets a day that I take to keep me alive. What it would be like if I live to be 80 and beyond, I have no idea. But the Bible says, well, you have 70. After that, it's a real struggle. God had put a limit to potential suffering. But more than that, he sent Jesus Christ to deal with our sin. He who had no sin died in our place for us, in order that we might be the righteousness of God, that we might have eternal life. That's what a neighbor does. He sees something that needs attending to in the neighbor's life, and even if it costs him his life, he is able to do it, that his neighbor might go free. So Paul calls us, love one another. Don't ask, if there is anything I can do, let me know. That adds a burden, another burden, to the person who is suffering. What can I ask Mrs. So-and-so to do? So, look around and see what could, maybe it's just sweeping the house. Because if they're in that state, they are unable to sweep the house. Go in and say, may I please? Do ask. May I please? And do that. Or one of the easiest things, just make a meal. Any meal from your country. And go around and say, I made extra and I would like you and your family to be blessed. And let them think of something that will enhance the life of your neighbor. A long time ago, I was making a speech at the farewell party of the gentleman who was academic dean in the college where I was principal. And I had my card with all the points that I was making. And I got halfway through my list of the good things I knew about this man. And suddenly it hit me. And it just made me stop. And I said to the gathered group, these things I'm saying about Jerry, that was his name, they were true about him 2 years ago as they are today. Why did I never say to him 2 years ago, Jerry, I appreciate you for this, for that, for the other? And many years later, we were again saying farewell to a colleague, and we said all these nice things. Thankfully, it was before I stood up to say what I had to say. And then we asked him to respond, and he said, if these things that have been said about me are true, and I'm sure most of them are, if they were said about me 6 months ago, we wouldn't be having a farewell meeting today. What do you appreciate about your neighbor? Let them know that you appreciate those things about them. It's part of that package of saying, of loving your neighbor. Let me finish. When we borrow money, we must ensure that we have the means to pay it back and on time. Money is not the only debt we accrue. There are other debts. Respect to whom it is due, honor to whom it is due, acknowledgement. Students, you're doing research and writing all sorts of very impressive things about your particular chosen discipline. Always remember to acknowledge your sources. Otherwise, you'll be guilty of plagiarism. It's taking somebody's knowledge and pretending it is yours. That is not acceptable in academia, and it is, if it goes on your CV, you have a lot of problems getting a job. Particularly for those of us who come from countries where we think, well, this very important man or woman has said it much better than I can ever say it in my second or third or fourth language. So I'll just take what they've said and put it into my essay. No, it's plagiarism. Don't do it. Respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. But always remember, there is one debt that can never be fully discharged, the debt to love your neighbor. God bless you. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. That was great.